A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dear 2020, can we just start over? I'm Dawn O'Porter and I've been thinking about life in lockdown, mostly from a cupboard. My new book, Life in Pieces, is full of thoughts on everything from bad hair and parenting to things we can control and the things we can't. When everything's falling apart, we'll piece it back together. Life in Pieces is out now in hardback, ebook, and audiobook. Hi, I'm Dawn O'Porter, and welcome back to So Lucky, where each week I go deep with my guest and explore all of the sides to all of their stories, their highs and lows, their hopes and fears, their lucky and their unlucky moments. My guest for you this week is writer and actor Daisy Haggard. She is the mastermind behind Back to Life, the brilliant series that she co-wrote and stars in. Now, I live in LA, but Daisy lives in London. So you can imagine how I pounced on her when she was in LA for a week and I made her come over to my house and be a guest on my podcast. I'm not sure if she really wanted to, but she did it. And for that, I am very grateful. I hope you love this episode. There is a cameo from my son, Art, who just knew to highlight the point that we were making about what it's like being a working parent. So Daisy and I talked about periods, which we both love to discuss, how she's becoming more focused and creative in her work since having kids, the difference that having women in charge makes to everybody's working lives, and the importance of play. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me, Dawn O'Porter, with the delicious Daisy Haggard. Do you even know what my podcast is about?
No!
So the podcast is about luck and the notion of luck and discussing how luck plays a part in your life.
Oh!
Do you consider yourself to be a lucky person?
I suppose I do, because I'm going to sound really like a real wanker, but can you swear on this podcast?
It's my podcast. What do you think?
No, I think I can't. No, because I suppose because I am I'm a very positive person. And so I would assume I was lucky.
I see. Okay.
I'm stupid and I'm positive, so I think I'm lucky.
You are incredibly positive.
Oh,
you're always like that.
Stupid.
And you know,
it was incredibly stupid.
I don't see you as remotely stupid.
Thanks.
Quite the opposite.
No, yeah.
But you are a really positive person. Is that you all the time? Like, you a positive mum, wife, you...
Oh, I generally... Hi!
I told you, a child has just appeared at the door.
Hi.
And I can't afford the recording time to stop, so...
Let's go with this.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
Artie, can Mummy will be in a few minutes, okay? Pardon, darling? Do you need me? Oh, he needs a poo. Okay, I just had to hang on. Okay. Oh, yeah. So we were discussing your positivity, but we were interrupted by my nearly five-year-old Art, who needed a poo, and he wants me to be a big part of that.
So. It's always a lovely role, isn't it? I feel jealous of that because I'm away from my kids for the first time, and so I'm not the wiper.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Because so not to go into the depths of Art's bowel movements and anxiety around it, but it is one of those things where he's five, but he's still like, he only likes to do it with certain people. Like, he holds it in all day at school and it only really wants to do it with me and Chris. And you're like,
it's an honour.
So hard when they're that age, because they've kind of left you a little bit. Like, they are getting so independent, and then there's these little things that just remind you that you are their person.
Totally.
So I'm delighted to wipe his bum. But that kind of highlights the point of being a working parent.
Yes.
Because that almost is what just happened there is what life is like all the time.
Totally.
When you are a working parent.
Yeah.
And I will focus on writing because that's what we both do.
Yeah.
But I find that whenever I set a deadline for this project that I'm doing at the moment, and I sent a message to the director that I'm working with, and I said, right, we've set a deadline, cue kids getting norovirus,
yes, totally.
Me breaking a finger, and all these things happen, and we kind of laughed about it. 5 minutes later, I look at Art, and he's itching his head, and he's got nits, and it's 24 hours of school. And I was like, and so it begins. This is the reality.
Literally, that's what happens.
So how do you write a hit show with two small children?
Well, the really funny thing is I spent my whole 20s and early 30s with, like, just, you know, 100 hours a day and sitting around in my pants moaning about how I couldn't get anything done. And then I became mum and I had no time, and then got a series commission. And then, as you said, I mean, I got the series commission when I was 8 months pregnant with my second child.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wendy, the second child, was born. And then the older one got like 4 chest infections. My husband got 3 chest infections.
Oh my
God.
We
all got the norovirus. Wendy had like tongue tie and reflux, and she was with me. We didn't have any, we had like a nanny, but I couldn't leave anyone with the nanny. And then weirdly, I just had to get it done. And
yeah.
then I just did. And so I sort of learned that I feel that it focused me because I had less time. I had to make it work when I'm not with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of do it. I just blindly do it. And weirdly, I just did it. And I don't know how that happened. There were like some weeks, I remember there was like 3 weeks where I think, but everyone had antibiotics and I was the one administering them through the night. And at one point, I think I went towards a small baby with a massive, like, adult antibiotic, because I was up like every 2 hours or 1 hour.
Oh,
and I
God,
remember just thinking,
so
I've seen
mad.
The clock. Yeah, I felt mad. And there's a million selfies on my computer of just babies on laps and one hand on the screen.
Yeah.
Not on the screen, because then I wouldn't have written it very well. On the keyboard. But yeah, so anyway, I just, you just kind of do it.
And don't you find that was the thing, that luxury of time that you had before?
Yeah.
You would have 24 hours to sit and write something and then work for about an hour of it. But now,
yeah,
since
totally.
Having kids,
yeah,
you've
yeah.
got to be so focused.
Yeah.
And you hear so much people, and I was this person, before you have a kid, saying, how am I going to do this? How am I going to
yeah.
keep being creative?
Yeah.
And I love being able to say to
you can you, it's okay
gosh, it makes you more creative
yeah,
or
yeah,
just
yeah.
you have to use your time better take
yeah.
it took a minute with me actually it took a
oh
minute
my god
to, like,
yes
get that. But now it's like I work 9 to 5 and I get my
yeah,
shit done.
You have to get your shit done and because you know you want to then go home and be
yeah.
around and then though you know like me and Laura who I co-write with, it's very funny because the only time we can speak is 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon, and that is when I'm like done
because she's here
yeah. and I'm in London, and that's when I'm kind of done and I'm like, and my kids are coming home from school and they want to hang out and I want to make dinner. And that's when she's getting her kids ready for school. And so between us, we're basically going like, we're just like, like this absolute mission, getting our points across while like kids in unicorn outfits just run past us. And I'm like, kind
and
of
so
like
I
wiping
need
asses.
And
yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, you know, but we kind of go like, blah, 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 blah. We speak so fast
yeah.
at each other. And we just try and convey all the information that we need to whilst we try and defend our computers'
God,
videos
it's
from
so
children.
So impressive.
Well, it's sort of I don't know. You just sort of do it, don't you?
You do.
You know what you've done is amazing. Like you've literally like yeah. From the outside, it always yeah. Yeah,
I think I mean we all do it, like, and I see, you know, for the guys as well to bring that in, like
yes.
Chris works so much and travels away and does all of that, and
yes,
somehow
Joe my
yes.
husband has been so much more focused by having them, you know.
You just have to be. And what I kind of like about it is I like how I go to work, like now I used to work from home and just, you know, not really have any structure, and now I go to an office and work 9 to 5. I don't know if I would have done that unless I had kids, because I didn't feel that
yes.
I would kind of told myself that I didn't need to go and be somewhere or do that.
No, because so, you could do it. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
yeah. No, you can't. See, I can't. If I'm at home, I just watch terrible television.
And also, there's
and then
just
I'll do
stuff
all the washing and every single thing I'm meant to be doing. So I don't go to an office. I go and sit in a cafe and really over tip people.
What
and
do you eat and drink all day?
I drink loads of coffee, and then I'm only trying to be sensible about food, and then slowly I cave and I end up with loads of rubbish food.
It's hard not to,
toasted
isn't it?
Sandwiches and like yeah,
that kind of 11 o'clock in the morning toasted sandwich.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
like,
I have like
by
a
2
full
o'clock
lunch
you need something else.
10 or something, yeah. Yeah, always huge meal at 10.
Do you have a particular cafe that you go to?
Yeah, I go to like, there's one at the bottom of my hill.
My hill.
I live on a hill in England. I am the queen. She doesn't live on a hill. This one does. I go to like the like Ritzy Cinema and stuff like that in Brixton.
Right.
But it can't be too cool because otherwise I get like distracted by how cool everyone is.
Yeah.
And it can't be too... I get kind of too many mums and kids in because then I feel guilty about my not being with my kids. So it has to be somewhere in between.
Yeah. So in going back to the notion of luck, what areas of your life do you think that you're most lucky? So you came from a family of creatives. Do you think boosted you at all? Or
yeah, I do. I think, you know, we were encouraged. We weren't allowed to watch telly or anything. We were encouraged to like paint and draw and do your own thing.
Oh God, how boring.
Well, I know, it's just rubbish.
But also my first thought of that is like, why did your parents do that to themselves?
My dad, I know. They were so, I mean, they're such martyrs.
Oh,
they're
my
like,
God.
Oh, I'm going to parent you. All right.
No, that's so unmodern.
But no, they just left me to my own resources.
Right.
But it was like, you know, it was lots of arty stuff. But they, we were left to play in the garden and make our own sort of worlds and do terrible, terrible plays that my dad would just be like, this is so terrible.
He was a director, right?
Yeah, so he'd come and watch.
Quite judging.
Yeah, no, he would watch. I remember doing a play called The Mystery of the Scratch Boob, which, because my dad directed a horror film called The Blood on Satan's Claw, so we had this claw in the dressing up box, yeah. And just as I was always quite into like sexuality. And so there was a point where I was like, I've written a play, which of course I hadn't. I just made some poor friend follow me around while I went, oh, look, there is a scratch on my boobie. And it was about 3 days, 3 installments, when my dad finally stood up and went, sorry, and went, this is not going anywhere. There's no structure. There's no plot. I refuse to watch any more of this until you've thought about the story. And he walked out. Harsh, yeah, but he was right.
And look where you are now.
I know.
So both you need to be harsh with the kids.
Yeah.
Make them perform, tell them it's shit.
Make them perform and then be really critical when they're like 5.
How old would you have been there?
I mean, maybe 6 or something. Okay. And I was always into scratching boobs.
I just find that amazing that your parents didn't want you to watch TV when you were 6. We've got a rule where they can watch TV on a school day after 6 o'clock. And
yes,
some
we have
days,
the same thing.
I lie to them about it being 6 o'clock.
You're like, 6 o'clock cannot come
it's
soon
It's 4:30, but I'm like, hurry, hurry, it's 6 o'clock to watch TV.
I'm like, bath time and then we do telly. And so sometimes I'm like, my friend will knock on the door and I'm like, it's 5 and my kids are in their pyjamas. And she's like, why are they in their pyjamas watching? And I'm like, shh, shh, they're watching telly because it's after bath time.
I know. Oh, God, so, yeah. We'll just get through it.
I know, they survive.
Your amazing career, does it feel amazing? Because you've been working for a long time.
Yeah.
Done loads of acting jobs in quite big shows, like episodes. So yeah. I feel like we've known of you for ages, but maybe it feels like you're just having your big moment.
I do feel lucky right now because I think I was like pushing a buggy round with a 6-month-old thinking, okay, that might be it really. And how am I ever going to write? You know, like I wanted to write and I was like, I can't even read a page of a book. How will I ever write something? And then, two brothers wanted to do a show that I was in and I was like, that's really nice that they want me to write a show, but how am I going to do that? And then it took a few years of development because I think my time felt different.
Yeah.
But then I did do it and then it happened to work. And so I would say right now I feel really lucky because I did not expect this. I've been around for so long that I also still have a healthy sense of like, you know, I can still pull a pint. I could be back in a pub tomorrow and that would be okay too. This is fun, but that would be okay too. And that might happen.
Don't you feel way more secure now though as an actress that you're creating? That was Daisy kicking the table.
That was my big knees.
Yeah, that was the tequila kicking in.
My
and the
swollen
rage.
Knees and my angry, angry temperament.
Do you feel a lot more secure now, like, especially as a mum, that acting, you were always going to work, but you are disposable in that world, as we all know, when you are not the one that creates it. You know, it could all end at any point. But when you're, you know, coming up with ideas for shows and writing them and you prove to yourself that you can do that, there's like makes you feel a bit more secure.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's really exciting because you just sort of think, oh, you know, yeah, it's really lovely to think you've got a say in stuff.
Yeah.
And you never know how long that will last or what will happen. But it's really lovely. I'm having meetings at the moment and that's really exciting thinking that I'm being viewed a bit more as somebody who could create a show. rather than audition for it. Yeah. Or a bit of both, you know, auditioning is great too, but it's really nice, yeah.
What's the goal? Do you think, do you want to do bits of acting, other stuff, and then you also want to create your own stuff and just do it all?
I'd like to do like a few really good shows, you know, that I've created, a couple of films as well, and then I'd love to act in things. But you know, I don't need to run the world. I just want to do a few things really well.
Yeah,
that's kind of my aim.
Don't you think it's funny that you can like try so hard for so long? And by try, I just mean like kind of, you know, plug away in this industry for so long, and then your big moment, because the same for me, I feel big moment comes at 40.
Yeah, but that's
when
you've
got
amazing.
Two kids, like what the hell is that about?
It's so lovely though, because you know, it's like the bit where you're a bit more in your skin, and like, you know, finally I'm like going, oh yeah, give me fries with my burger, I don't care. I'm not here because I'm a size whatever.
Yeah,
I'm here because you become more yourself, and so it's really nice, because then when you go into those meetings, you're just like, you're not kind of trying to be, I think, you know, you spend quite a lot of time, don't you, worrying about how you come across or how you should be, and then you're just like, oh, I'm like this, and my kids are at home.
And this is who I am. And
this is who I am. And if you don't like me, then I'm very surprised, because I could have had so much fun.
What are you talking about?
What is your problem? But if you do like me, then hey, that's nice.
Also, I think that whole thing about needing to be liked was like, I haven't known you. I've probably known you since we were about 30.
Yes.
Because I met you around the time that I met Chris. It's
2 to 3 years. I remember meeting you at a Nick Frost birthday
party. That's right. Weirdly, it was Nick Frost that introduced Chris and I. Oh. And, such a lovely thing to say. But I don't know you in your 20s. So, and you were always talking about writing then. I think we both
were.
You were saying then, I'm writing a show, I'm doing this thing, I'm trying to create these things. So, but in my 20s, I was on TV a lot. And needing to be liked was just so exhausting. It was such a part of what I was doing. Like, I'd be on TV and I would be thinking, I think I was pretty much myself, but I was definitely thinking, what can I do all the time to make the audience like me? And the idea that I'd be doing that now is horrific. You get to the point when you're 40 and you're like, you just want to put out your best art, or you do the thing that makes you happy to create.
And you do still, like, you know, I can't say that I've lost the gene where I want to be liked. I do still want people to like me and not hate me.
Oh, no, of course.
But it's a different, but it's a different thing, isn't it? It's not, you're not, your focus isn't just about how you're presenting yourself, is it? Your focus is the work and a bit more self-confidence, hopefully, in being a bit more in your skin and a bit more laissez-faire about it all.
I think that's exactly the point. The focus is the work rather than the reaction.
And then there's a terror, isn't there, once you've done the work, of what will the reaction be? Oh, my God. So what if everyone hates it? Which is what I had with Back to Life. Yeah. I suddenly went, oh, my God, like, the day before it came out, I hadn't really thought about that moment. Because we didn't write it thinking, well, people will think this or people will like that. I was just desperate to get the thing in my head out, and me and Laura's, you know, vision and, you know, out as clearly and as well as possible. And then, and so I wasn't thinking about what people thought. I was thinking that I know I need to like this, you know, I need to believe in this. And then that sort of terrifying moment where it goes out into the ether and you're like, oh, hang on, people are going to have an opinion. And what if they hate it and they think I'm really messed up?
But they loved it.
They did like it, which is really nice.
And so now it's airing out here, or aired out
Showtime,
here.
Showtime, it's on Showtime,
and doing really well. Was it the New York Times that, what did they say? They named it as...
Oh, it was, well, it's had good feedback. It was on Time top 10 and quite a few little, and Vogue top 10, so, or 20 or something. I don't want to get
amazing.
That wrong. So quite a few top.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sort of 2019 things, which is really, that really is exciting.
But how does that make you feel when you've got this little idea of this weird show? About
really weird show
as well.
A woman
who's come out of prison and trying to get back into society, which is an odd subject. But what I loved about it was like, what an interesting take on being a woman.
Well, the thing really was, I was sort of thinking about how hard is it anyway if you're 35 and you've, you know, or your late 30s and you've got no partner, no job, and you're living with your parents. Like, it's a really difficult time for millions of women and men, but like, you know, for women, I think particularly, no family. Do you want kids? What are you doing? Where are you? But then throw in the fact that you have come out of prison and you've done the worst thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you do meet someone you like, you're going to have to at some point tell them. So it's this sort of, it's not really the premise for a comedy. No.
But yet it is.
I wanted to write something that kind of challenged stereotypes, and also to have the mother as a very sexual, the mother who's in her early 60s, and to have her as the one who's really sexually active and the one that's, whose libido is potentially a little out of control, rather than it being either the young woman or the man or the husband. So we really enjoyed challenging those sort of sexual stereotypes.
And it's not based on you then, because you're a massive slut.
I'm such a slut. So weird. I'm
Daisy's
not.
Daisy's been amazing till today in Los Angeles. She just turned out to my house in a black micro
mini. She thinks I look
with
like
a lace dressing gown over the top.
Listen, I thought this was like, I'm now feeling really paranoid.
No.
I thought this was the right meeting.
But we see how you're trying to get work, Daisy.
From all the women I met today. Yeah. No, I'm really paranoid that they all think I was trying to bed them.
Well, did you?
No.
Then it's fine.
It didn't work. It just looks like I'm wearing a nightie.
No, you look gorgeous. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I was just really impressed. I was like, hot stuff, knocking at the door.
No.
Can we talk about periods?
I love periods. Sorry, my voice went weird.
Did you not do that on purpose?
the first bit was an accident, and then I went for it, and then I went on purpose.
Okay. I don't normally do this.
Because if your voice just goes into that, then
that's why I have to dress so sexually.
Okay, now I understand.
To counteract this terrible affliction. Thank you for pointing it out. Or tequila.
Oh my goodness. I want to talk about periods because we're girls, as soon as you arrived, we just started talking about them.
Yeah.
And
I hate periods.
I hate them so much. They are the absolute bane of my life. And relevantly, because we were just talking about work, so I'm going to segue by using that, because I went to work this morning and I'm so premenstrual, and I was just had a really terrible work day after a bad night's sleep due to cramps. I think it's just one of those things we're up against, isn't it? Especially when
it takes a day out for me. It wipes a day out.
For me, it's a week. Yeah. And it's, God, what the hell is that about? Why do we have to battle with that? So not only did anyone so much as mention there not being any milk in the fridge, I just burst into tears today. And then the physical pain of it all. And sometimes when I look at my kind of working month, I've got two really great weeks, maybe even a bit less. And then the other 2 weeks are centered around kind of bad sleep, temperature, pain, stuff. Like, is that a part of your life?
Totally. Absolutely. That, between catching every bug my children get, is basically life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Periods. Yeah. And there's about three to four. One day where I just feel really, really out of it and weird, and I will literally buy something, and I will leave my credit card in the machine.
Yeah.
I leave the item on the side. I look completely mad. I forget. I kind of go, right, I must look that way when I'm crossing the road, and I'll look the wrong way. Like,
I remember my best friend going to cross the road and putting her shopping bags down and then crossing the road, just leaving her
shopping bag. I totally get that.
And she was just like, oh, just sorry, I'm just so premenstrual.
The best thing
God,
I ever
mad.
No, the best thing I ever did this is going to be hard on a podcast because I'm so visual. Basically, when you're in the UK and you know when you're going on the tube and you're leaving the station, you tap your Oyster card on the thing and then the doors open.
Yeah.
I had my period and I was on the tube and I was thinking about how I might have, because I was so out of it, might have left a candle lit. So I get to the Oyster card thing, it's rush hour. I lean over, I've got a massive queue behind me. I blow on the Oyster card reader, like I'm blowing a candle out. I went,
oh my God.
And then I stood there and then I went completely red and I was like, oh my God, I've just blown on it rather than putting my Oyster card on it. And then I just went, and then stood up with my head up high and then went puce and then got my Oyster card out and then pretended I had some sort of OCD and sort of went, cleaned it and then left. I mean, insane. That's the kind of thing that becomes normal.
I know.
So, yeah.
I mean, so we battle with these things as women.
Yeah.
Like, there's all sorts of parenting things that men and women battle with. But what's your, and to segue into back into work, what's been your experience of being a woman in the industry? Like, people say it's hard. Has it been hard for you? Have you ever noticed that? Have you had quite an easy time?
I think I'm noticing more now that I've kind of creating stuff that it was hard, if that makes sense. That it was harder, like, it's... There are less parts, you know,
right.
There are less parts. And as you get older, the parts fall away. And then there's a few people who are getting those parts. And if you're not those people, then you feel it.
Yeah.
And I think that's different for men. I think there's just more.
Yeah.
So things like that, I've definitely felt. And I feel like you're more likely to get put in a box than a man will.
So let's talk about
that. And if you write a show, it's considered, that's the genre.
That's
you're
it.
A woman.
Right. So, I mean...
things like that.
I wasn't actually going to bring this up because I'm sure it's mentioned in everything you do. Obviously, your show is made by the producers of Fleabag.
Yes.
So that continuous comparison is so frustrating. Like, Fleabag is...
They're so different.
I mean, yeah. And obviously, we all... It's the best.
It's amazing.
The best. It's the most
inspiring. And she's amazing.
Oh, it's all just so good. But now I feel like everything is like compared to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that happens with men's work.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think if someone writes a man writes a show and then immediately, you know, it's like, oh, you're the next Mrs.
Well,
Brown's,
I just don't
Mrs.
believe,
Brown's
yeah,
voice.
I just don't, yeah, I don't believe that The Rock goes into meetings and people are saying, oh, you're basically doing what so-and-so did in the 80s. I just don't believe that compharison is always there.
No, and it's,
there's,
you know,
a type.
But I sort of, I'm lucky to be, you know, I genuinely feel that I'm lucky that I'm compared to that. And that's probably been really helpful for me. And everything she's done has been really helpful for the ones of us that are following.
Mm-hmm.
But we all look forward to a time where, you know, a woman can do a show and she's not immediately compared. They're not compared to each other. I think that's really exciting. And I think we're getting there.
Yeah. I mean, your shows are so different.
I mean, they're so different. Yeah. But, you know, to be fair, like, there's the protagonists are sort of complicated women and they're made by the same people. We're both British here. You know, like, there's a lot of things that you can, if you are, you know, you can draw, but they are so different.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, were we a man and a woman, they would never be compared.
Just not compared.
No, totally.
But your experience is generally really positive about having the boobies in the industry.
I mean, yes and no. Like, yes and no. I don't think I can complain about it too much because I feel like I've been quite lucky. But I do think there's a hell of a lot less.
Thanks for bringing it back.
Hey! but I do think there's a lot less parts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why we have the urge to, you know, I'm desperate to write parts for women of all ages. I feel like it's really hard for women who are over 40 quite often. And,
right.
And I'm really keen to write stuff that includes, you know, it doesn't just focus on being young. And I think that there's a lot that we've got a lot further to go.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Are you quite excited about being part of that though? Like,
I'm really excited. I'm like really excited about writing the next series, and I'm like, no, I want, you know, I'm just really excited about writing really cool parts for people of all ages and ethnicities, and I'm just
and
feel
do, you, do you feel that power? Like, it's what you're going from being an actress to creating a show where you're able to create parts and do something to make it all a bit better. Is that really like a feeling?
Well, it's exciting to think, like, you know, it's exciting. I found it really exciting on the first series because I suddenly got really excited about, can we do continuous days to get as many people home early?
Right, good.
So that was my big one.
The unfamily friendliness.
Yeah. So one of the massive things I was, and obviously, I must say, you cannot do this all the time.
Right.
There are some shoots you do where this could never happen. But I was like, oh, I get to say, first of all, I get to say, like, I'm filming 7 minutes from my house so I can make bedtime, which isn't necessarily great for everybody because somebody might live in North London or whatever. But, you know, normally it's about time people filmed in South London. Yeah. So I'm okay with that. But then I also get to go, right, okay, can we do continuous days when it's genuinely okay for all departments and it's not going to make someone in costume cry, you know, because it's not good for them, but it's good for everyone else. Can we do continuous days where you work really hard, you put all your energy in, and then you finish at 5 p.m. And
so continuous day means no lunch.
It basically means no lunch, but you have your sandwich while you're working. Yeah. And lunch quite often is lots of people don't have anywhere to go. And then the energy dips afterwards and then you have to crank it all back up again. Obviously, also, it's sometimes used for big turnarounds and lots of things that is very useful. But yeah, so whenever we could, we did continuous days. And it was amazing.
And it worked.
People were so happy because they got to go and have an evening. And whether they had kids or not, or they were married, or whatever, they got to go and, like, do something for themselves.
Yeah.
Or tuck their kids in.
Yeah, Chris and I discussed this a lot.
And that's my dream.
But this is what having women in charge will do for the industry. Yeah, and this is why it's so important.
I need to show run so I can make that happen. Yeah. I'll even make the script fit that.
Yeah.
You know, but I really think that like, why should you have to choose between having a life and having a career, having a family and having a career, whatever that is to you, whether your family is your friends and not having kids, whatever it is, why should you have to choose?
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in holidays, weekends, dinners, you know, like all the things that make a life, because they will just make you better at your work.
It's so good to hear you say it, because it all, just being married to an actor, it all just feels so unnecessary. And the amount of time that he's on set during the day where he's not doing anything and could be sent home but isn't, in case they get to that scene, and some days they never get to that scene, and then he has to put his kids to bed for 4 nights. It's like all completely unnecessary and so much time wasted. And this is the kind of, what you're saying is such an easy fix for a lot of productions to do, but it continues to not be a family-friendly industry.
Well, because so I think people think that you somehow aren't working if you're not working 17, 20-hour days, and I don't believe that. I believe you can be really, really productive. Mm. It's about how productive you are, and I think people are more productive when they have a life. I am. So, like, you know, I finished all my work and I went away for 2 months. I took 2 months off because I was like, I need to now do this. I need to get my balance right, because then I'm going to be really busy again and I'm going to work my ass off. So I need to sort of take your holidays and take your dates and your evenings and whatever it is that you do. You need to take that time, because it will just make you better in work. I believe. Well, that definitely for me. Anyway.
There's no other industry now that isn't taken into consideration, like, especially in America, you can tell when you go into anywhere, whether it's the local pharmacy or whether it's they are now having to look after their staff so much better than ever, to get the breaks, to, you know, all of this. And companies that don't look after their staff really look down upon. But in the entertainment industry, and look, it's a great industry and people love it and you're making great stuff and it's fun, all that stuff, but really asked to work the kind of hours that no other industry would really allow.
And of course, sometimes that has to happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes if somebody really, really put their head to it, sometimes it doesn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just making sure that's interrogated.
Can you just run the world? Just run the world.
It'll be like, everyone,
maybe specifically.
Margaritas all around.
Let's all have weekends. One of your productions, is it really fun on set? Do you have a good time?
Yeah, well, because I also believe, like, you know, if you're especially, I don't know, just like, you're lucky to be working, have a nice time, have fun, be like, set a good example, don't be a moan bag. If you're gonna have a cry, have it in your trailer come out smiling. Or no, I mean, I'm very emotional. But, you know, basically, I want to laugh all day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, I'm not doing the job for much more than that. I just want to have a giggle. I tend to buy a lot of crisps for people.
That's so
and
nice.
Lots of treats.
That's
everyone puts on those of weight, because I buy Wagon Wheels. Do you remember Wagon Wheels?
I love them. And I was thinking about them the other day because I'm writing something set in the 80s and just thinking about all those old 80s snacks.
Yeah, that's what I just kept getting, 80s snacks for people. That's
Wagon Wheels, though, they're just perfect. Just
I'm going to bring you back some.
Do. So is there anyone whose life you look at and just think, God, they're really, really lucky?
Oh, God. That's the kind of thing that I'll walk away from here and suddenly think of somebody.
I think of
you, actually, a bit like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not just saying that, but I do. I do.
In what way?
Well, today you just look so lovely and happy and clever.
Of course, it's always like that.
You always just look so
always
good.
Always so happy.
You just look bubbly and fun, and like you're living it up, you're having a good time. Yeah. I, the people that I look at and think that about, I the people I look at and go, the people who I think are having fun and mm-hmm. sort of, and of course you can't always have fun, mm-hmm. and it's sometimes things are, you know, shit. Like I'm not at all sort of, and I said I was positive, I'm positive, but also, you know, a lot of people have died around us lately, and lots of things, lots of bad things happen. So I'm kind of the belief that don't be moody about the small stuff, just kind of, just sort of, just live your life and
you're
try and have the most
checking
fun.
Checking yourself there.
Yeah, I just, that doesn't mean I don't just have like grumpy days, or I'm menstrual and I'm a cow, or I get really sort of chippy, or does that doesn't mean that I don't do that. Like it doesn't at all, but I definitely have a sense of like, come on, let's have a good time.
Yeah.
And I married someone who wants to have a good time. So I think having a partner that you play with is really good.
I'd never spent time properly with you and Joe until this new year. And I have to say, like, as a couple, I walked away from you two going, they are lucky as a couple.
Oh,
you
funny.
Have, I mean, I'm sure, you know, all marriages have their moments. But you seem to really enjoy each other. And he's just so fun.
He's so silly. He's just so silly.
I kept seeing you both be really silly.
We're like, basically
not,
really
not
silly.
Not for the sake of the crowd. Like, in the corner, being silly.
Yeah.
So those two are the actual best.
They were basically really, really silly. I think it's fun to fight if you find someone to be really silly with. That's quite
good. You're lucky girls then to be growing up in a house with two silly
Oh my God,
parents.
I worry. I keep saying, what's going to happen? Like, what will happen to them? Will they be like Safi and Ab Fab and like really, really serious?
No, they'll be really
have
serious.
Like house with no colour and straight lines, because they're like, my parents really messed me up. They were always doing like dancing dressed in monkey onesies.
Look, it's a matter of time before you're all wearing monkey onesies.
Yeah, exactly.
Daisy, thank you for being on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're a heavenly creature.
You
I'm
are.
So proud of your success. Honestly, well done.
And same with you. You should be very proud of yourself, young lady.
Aren't we brilliant?
Oh, let's have some more tequila.
Thank you so much again, Daisy, for talking to me on the podcast. Daisy's brilliant series, Back to Life, is on the iPlayer in the UK and Showtime in the US. Later this year, she'll be in a new series with Martin Freeman called Breeders, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Do make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your smart speaker of choice to get each one as it drops. And if you enjoyed this conversation, I'd so appreciate a review on whatever platform you're using to listen to this. It really helps more people find the podcast. And if you just can't get enough of me, my own book, also called So Lucky, is out now in print, ebook, and audiobook. Thanks again to Daisy, to producer Emma Corsham at Rethink Audio, to Fanula, to Liz, to Kim, and all the team at HarperCollins, and to you for listening. See you next week.